I've always thought of this story that Jesus tells in today's gospel as sort of Luke's version of a Christmas carol, except that Luke, it would seem, is much less patient than Charles Dickens. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the story, here's a quick recap. A Christmas Carol is about a very rich man named Ebenezer Scrooge, who, like the rich man in today's gospel story, had no concern for anyone but himself. He was blind to others' need and wasted no time on empathy, on imagining other people's feelings and experiences. His priorities were all that mattered. Unlike the gospel character or his brothers, however, Scrooge was sent a supernatural warning before he died. One night, Christmas Eve in fact, he was taken on a journey through his past, his present, and his future by spirits of Christmas. And these spirits help him to see that his self-absorption has created a gulf, a chasm between him and the rest of the world. And that the result of this chasm is suffering for those he neglects, and also spiritual suffering for himself as he grows increasingly isolated and miserable. The end of his current path is revealed to be dying alone, rich, but unloved and unmissed. Guided by the spirits, Scrooge learns to truly see the people around him and to want to share his life with them. And when he awakes on Christmas morning, he is a man transformed, generous and compassionate and full of joy. And his transformation spills over and transforms the world around him. Unlike in Dickens' story, however, neither the rich man in Jesus' story nor his five brothers get multiple spirit visits to reveal to them the deathly consequences of their living and to convince them to change their ways. After all, as Father Abraham says, they already have Moses and the prophets. If that isn't enough, what more possibly could be? And so the rich man is left to suffer his torments, and perhaps even worse, to anticipate his brothers doing likewise. And we are left a little shaken, maybe, by a story that seems so devoid of forgiveness and mercy coming from Jesus. So what might Jesus have been trying to accomplish with this story? First, let's remember who his conversation partners were at this moment. He's talking to a group of Pharisees. Pharisees were people who were committed to knowing and teaching and observing the law. Now, this particular group of Pharisees, let's be clear, not all of the Pharisees, this particular group of Pharisees is also described as being lovers of money. They ridiculed the stories that Jesus had just told them. Stories about a lost sheep that was found, of a lost coin that was found, of the prodigal son who was found, and celebrated beyond measure. They did not appreciate Jesus' warning that you cannot serve both God and mammon. So this was not a story told to people living in poverty. And it was not a story told to people unaware of the teachings and expectations of the law and the prophets. It was a story told to people with both wealth and knowledge. People who could be expected to know and to reflect the mercy and love of God. And maybe some of them did. Maybe some of them used their resources to benefit their neighbors in need, and so were able to calmly nod and smile through Jesus' story, secure in their own righteousness. But probably some of them did not. Probably some of them were guilty of the behaviors ascribed to the rich man, guilty of ignoring the need on their doorsteps while choosing self-indulgence and self-importance for themselves. Guilty of ignoring Moses and the prophets, even though they know perfectly well what is expected of them. And maybe some of these folks were shaken awake by the story, not unlike Ebenezer Scrooge awakened by the visits of those spirits. And they were moved to repentance and transformation. Because that's the hope in Jesus' story. The hope is not for the rich man. His choices have all been made and cannot now be unmade. The hope is for his brothers, still alive and gifted with resources and knowledge and will. The hope is for all who hear the story, both then and there with Jesus and this morning, gathered here with Jesus. That those who hear the story and recognize themselves in it will be awakened to two great truths. First, what we do matters. What we do matters. And second, God has given us everything we need in order to make the right choices about what we do. What we do matters. Not because we might spend eternity in Hades. Jesus was not giving us a glimpse into the actual afterlife in this story, no more than the story of the tortoise and the hare, say, reveals the inner lives of forest creatures. But Jesus was revealing that what we do has consequences beyond our immediate and personal experiences. Our choices, our behavior impacts other people. It impacts our relationships with other people. It impacts our relationship with God. And this interconnection goes beyond the obvious material impacts of walking past people asking for money on the doorstep. Because as human beings, we are entwined with one another. We are entrusted with the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of one another, whether we like it or not. And not only the people immediately in front of us. We've just lived through a pandemic. We are living through a pandemic, which makes this very clear, I think. Climate change is not limited to the people in front of us. The refugee crisis is not limited to the people in front of us. We are all of us connected. What we do matters to other people, to our planet, and to our souls. And what we do also matters to God. Because we matter to God. God cares about the state of our being, the state of our relationships, and what we do with the good and beautiful world that God created. Which is why, like the rich man's brothers, God has given us everything we need in order to live in accordance with God's will. We have the law and the prophets. We have resources to share. We have communities of faith to hold us accountable. We have the gift of self-examination and repentance and the promise of resurrection to set us free from fear and guilt. We have science. We have history to guide us in decision making. And we have hearts to help us use that knowledge with compassion and empathy. And we have Jesus, the very Word of God made flesh, who returned to us from the dead, which is what that rich man swore would help his brothers. Jesus, who returned to us even from the dead, to continue to teach and to challenge. So let's listen to him. Let's prove that rich man right. Now is the time to live with mercy. Now is the time to live with justice. Now is the time to live with compassion, because now is the time that matters to us and to God. May we prove faithful in this time that we have been given.